Sup, freaks, it's your boy Marty here to introduce this episode of Rabbit Hole Recap Stimulus Package. Matt and I just spoke for about an hour and 20 minutes about a bunch of stuff. Very Bitcoin development and Bitcoin app development heavy episode. Talked a lot about privacy, coin joining, Eclair's new version release, Wasabi Wallet's new release as well, Mynode's new release, a bunch of stuff. Also talked about Janet Yellen warning the Fed to buy stocks. What's going on with coronavirus? We started out with coronavirus because it seems inevitable to avoid during these times. I hope you guys are going to like it. I think you're going to like it. One thing we did not talk about that I'm seeing out on the list is something that was dropped on the Bitcoin mailing list right before we hit record by Rodolfo Novak. So we'll talk about that on Thursday. I'm making a mental note now, and you guys copy this mental note and remind me to talk about it. Rodolfo Novak's email to the mailing list about BIP entropy from BIP32. All right, keep me on it. We're going to talk about that on Thursday. This episode of Tales from the Crypt of Rabbit Hole Recap Stimulus Package is brought to you by the Cash App. You freaks already know all about them. All right, they're letting you stack sats. They're letting you send sats. They're letting you receive sats. And if you want to sell the sats, they're letting you do that too, though we do not recommend it here at TFTC. Okay, we're hodlers. Hodlers of last resort. I'm kidding. I'm not going to give you financial advice in this ad read. You can do whatever the hell you want to do. All right, just make sure you download the Cash App because it's letting you stack sats. It's letting you send sats, receive sats. We've already gone over it. They're making sats the standard as well. It's available on Android devices, and if you have an Android and an iOS, you sort of back your way into that iOS sat the standard as well. On top of that, they're letting you stack slivers of stonks. Stonks pumped today. If you wanted to buy them and your stonk, your favorite stonk, became a little bit too expensive because of today's pump, you can buy as little as $1 now via Cash App Investing. And because your bank account is directly connected to the Cash App, there's no 4 to 5 day waiting period. So you can start investing today. Today. Oi. Oi. Okay. Cash App Investing is a subsidiary of Square and member SIPC. As always, if you have not downloaded the Cash App yet, freaks, if you haven't and you're going to download it, make sure you use the code STACKINGSATS. That's one word, STACKINGSATS. You're going to get $10, and $10 is going to go to our good friends at Owls Lacrosse. Owls Lacrosse. All right, stacking sats. You're going to get $10. $10 to Owls. Download the Cash App today. Enjoy this rip. Okay.
You've had a dynamic where money's become freer than free.
If you talk about a Fed just gone nuts, all the central banks going nuts.
So it's all acting like safe haven.
I believe that in a world where central bankers are tripping over themselves to devalue their currency, Bitcoin wins. In the world of fiat currencies, Bitcoin is the victor.
I mean, that's part of the bull case for Bitcoin.
If you're not paying attention, you probably should be.
What is up, freaks? Welcome back to Tales from the Crypt. We got an issue of stimulus package in this week. We're here on a Monday night gathering to talk about Bitcoin, the state of the world, and just to shoot the shit. Matt, how you doing?
It's a 2RHR kind of week.
It really is. It really is. Before we hit record here, a couple of hours before, Boris Johnson, Prime Minister of England, sent to the ICU. What do we think about that? The coronavirus does not discriminate.
It turns out if you go to the hospital and shake hands with coronavirus patients, you end up getting coronavirus.
Hate to say it, you know. Should have been bumping elbows, not shaking hands at least. Probably wearing a mask and going for herd immunity out of the bat. Probably not looking like the wisest decision right now.
Dude, that's pretty crazy. Yeah, their plan originally was just we'll let it wash through the whole population and do absolutely nothing. Now their prime minister's in the hospital. You know, hoping for a speedy recovery. It's interesting that, I would assume they wouldn't have him in the ICU unless they absolutely needed to have him in the ICU because it's horrible. You know, it looks horrible. It creates panic. And then the second thing is, it's interesting that the market closed up despite the news. Because it broke at like like 3:30 or something like that, 3:15 before close.
Yeah, like 45 minutes before close, and the market ripped. It seems like the market wants to see this guy die, which is a little bit weird.
I mean, British markets are closed, so we'll see what happens tomorrow.
I haven't checked FX markets. I wonder how the pound's doing right now. I assume it's getting weak because people are fleeing the dollars, but have not checked. Went on a hike today. Decided to get outside. Had a beautiful day here where I am. Trekked to the woods with my wife and our son, and there was very few people around. Past probably three people. Felt good to get some fresh air, some vitamin D. Talk while walking. Felt good.
That's fantastic. You got to get that fresh air in. It's ridiculous how we see in a lot of places they're closing parks and stuff like that. Makes no sense, especially if you're being responsible and you're staying away from people that you aren't living with.
I was
at the grocery store today, and 90% of people were wearing face coverings, which was fantastic to see. So anecdotally, based on the town I'm in right now, 90% today, maybe on Thursday, Wednesday, I think it was actually Wednesday. On Wednesday, it was like 20%. On Wednesday, I was the weird one wearing the mask. And then today, the majority of people were wearing masks. So what I would, my anecdotal math is there's about 70% of people that will just wait till the government tells them to do something, and then they will do it in my town.
Yeah, because the CDC just came out, right, and said, hey, maybe you should wear a mask.
Yeah, they finally did it. Like right after RHR last week, right? Was it Thursday or Friday?
Was it after that or our episode with Alex?
I think it was on Friday or Thursday. We didn't talk about an RHR last week, I'm pretty sure.
No. We did talk about it on Alex. You pointed out very astutely, though, that it is funny that the only precaution that actually like saves people, they're telling people not to do.
No, yeah, there's a bunch of tactics that you can use to fight the virus. The only one that actually helps our privacy, all the other ones hurt our privacy. They were telling us not to do. But yeah, the whole mask thing is weird because it kind of really felt like a future metaphor for Bitcoin, you know, because I've always considered myself like the Bitcoin guy of my friends and family, right? But I was the mask guy this time around. Like I was that dude. I was the dude who like rose to the occasion, like got people masks, told them to fucking wear them like 2 weeks ago. So like, is that what happens in hyper Bitcoinization?
We start acquiring Bitcoin for people and telling them to buy it. I mean, I've already been telling people to buy Bitcoin for quite some time. Haven't been as aggressive with it as years past because you can only lead horses to water. You can't make them drink. But with that being said, I have had a few horses come to me and say, hey, I've been drinking from that well. I had a good buddy of mine text me last night, actually, saying that he's dipping his toes in the corn.
No, like, what I'm trying to say is, so I told a lot of people to wear masks for a couple months now, like get masks, wear masks, masks help. And I got a lot of pushback, you know, masks don't help. Masks actually hurt in a lot of ways if you wear them wrong and all these other, like all these mask FUD lines, right? And they were very resistant. And then because of the way it happened where the CDC just came out and said it, like in a 24-hour period, like a lot of those people were like, do you have any? Like, can I get some? Like, oh, now I'm going to wear one. Now I actually believe that it works and stuff like that. So it was like that, like obviously I'm always shilling Bitcoin, shill lightly, but I'm always shilling Bitcoin. But most of them push back and don't, you know, want anything to do with it. Is it like with masks, it was a one-day thing. From one day it went boom, you know? With Bitcoin, it'll be slower, but It might not be that much slower. There might be like a week where it's like, I don't know.
You think the Fed's going to come out and say, hey, maybe you should buy some Bitcoin?
I don't,
get
like,
to a hard currency?
That's where the metaphor dies, because that will never happen, right?
You did have Goldman Sachs telling people to buy gold a couple weeks ago, which is obviously not telling them to buy Bitcoin, but it is telling them to get into a sound currency if currency markets are going wild. We'll see. I think more and more people are questioning, both on the mass front. It is funny to see, like, as soon as this, like, the town I'm in, we're probably at like 60% people wearing masks. I went to CVS the other day. There was a lot, everybody I saw actually in CVS was wearing masks. Once people go outside, they tend to be a little more liberal with their mask wearing. But indoors, it seems that everybody's wearing masks, which is good to see. No, but it is funny to see the herd mentality. They need to be told from above that this is okay and this is right. And like we've been saying the last couple of weeks, these agencies have been pretty dead wrong up to this point. I mean, they're right now that they've capitulated and say that you should be wearing masks. I think we would agree that that's the smart thing to do. But the first 3 months, 3.5 months of the year, they really shit the bed. And yet people still look to them for guidance on what to do. And that's like, again, none of this is priced in fully yet. I think there's going to be a huge reckoning in terms of a crisis of confidence in these institutions. People are going to start questioning. Hopefully they do. Actually, I don't want to say with any certainty that they will, that this anecdote proves that maybe they won't. But hopefully people start asking hard questions as they're forced in the quarantine and sitting at home with time to think. And hopefully you're turning off the news every once in a while so you can think for yourself and not have the mainstream media feed you what you should think.
The other ridiculous thing is that they said it was based off of new research that showed that you could have no symptoms and you could still transfer the virus. Like, how
it's been
I thought that was common knowledge. I thought we already, like, there's been months now, right? We're like,
yeah, the long incubation period's been well known since February, right?
Insane. We even saw NBA players who had it like a month ago and no symptoms, right?
Yeah.
Ridiculous.
And it's even more ridiculous when you see like all the videos that have been popping up on Twitter of the spread of droplets without a mask and with a mask. It's pretty crazy how effective a mask is in stopping the spread
disturbing.
Of that stuff. Right? Like seeing how far all that stuff goes, even just like breathing.
Especially if you've ridden the subway at all in your life.
I mean, you could just feel it on the subway. If you've ridden the subway, you can just there's an atmosphere of droplets that is palpable.
No way.
Yeah, dude.
I mean, after I've watched those GIFs, now I'm going to feel it. But just because I've psyched myself out. Well, that's good. Yeah, let's normalize mask wearing. Everyone should just always wear a mask.
It's good for privacy. Got to keep the privacy up. It's a good segue. Into our next topic, which was yesterday, was Satoshi's given birthday or chosen birthday. He just chose his date of birth as April 5th for some reason in forums. Was it his forum? Was it Bitcoin Talk where he did that?
I believe so, yes.
Yeah. And so Bitcoiners engaged in a CoinJoin day to highlight the pressing need for privacy and the right to privacy. So there's a bunch of cool stuff that went on then. Went on yesterday. Our good friend Brian Harrington, he hosted a YouTube powwow with a bunch of people, including BTC Zelko, Ergo BTC, a couple of the Samurai guys were there too.
I watched that.
I haven't checked Whirlpool stats yet. Was there a material jump yesterday?
Yeah.
Even though
yesterday was a big day, but you know, make every day CoinJoin day. Just Whirlpool in general has been blowing up lately. A lot of fucking usage. It just passed. It just passed February's monthly all-time volume in like what, 6 days.
That's pretty boss.
But anyway, yes. Yeah, that stream that the OC Bitcoin Network did, it was a talk on Samurai Wallet and privacy, is well worth a watch. It was really good. Watched it live.
Yeah. Yeah, Seth Cole was on there too. Very good Bitcoiners. And staying on the topic of coin joins, this is pretty interesting. I wasn't expecting this. Wasabi Wallet shipped a new version over the weekend, and now they have built-in Bitcoin Knots instead of Bitcoin Core as a reference implementation. And they did this for an interesting reason. Bitcoin Core does not provide SegWit-only block filters. And I guess the Wasabi team has a PR out on Bitcoin Core asking for these specific block filters so they can filter to the chain faster, because obviously they're only using UTXOs in SegWit addresses for their coin joins. Core has not merged that yet. They did the same PR on Bitcoin Knots, which is another implementation that forked off of Core in 2011, is basically 99% in line with what Core has. They merged that over the weekend, and so Wasabi pushed that live. And so hopefully this will make Wasabi a little lighter and quicker.
This makes no sense to me.
Why not?
Bitcoin Knots, I mean, Bitcoin Knots has other differences, right? Like, fucking Luke uses like the tonal system in it. Tonal. So
Luke Dasher is like the lead maintainer of Knots, I guess.
Yeah. And like pretty much nobody runs Knots, right? Very few people run Knots. It's a fork of Core. It uses tonal numbers, which Luke says is like the only way to do units. He believes very strongly in that. And then I'm pretty sure it still includes like Luke's blacklist, like his transaction blacklist in there, which is like super ironic for a privacy project. And then why not just fork in the filters into Bitcoin Core? Like, they don't have to Bitcoin Core doesn't have to merge it. You could just maintain your own fork. I don't know. It's weird. But there was other weird changes. So, well, they had one change that allows you to run multiple wallet instances at once. So the main reason for that is because if you have a hardware wallet connected to Wasabi and a CoinJoin wallet in Wasabi, those are two distinct wallets, right? Because your keys need to be hot to do CoinJoin. But to switch between the wallets, you always had to like close out Wasabi and then reopen it and then open the hardware wallet. So now they're making it so you don't have to do that, which that seems like an improvement. But they also are making it so you can actually have two wallets coin joining at the same time, and in effect mixing with each other. You can't really enforce that. People can run multiple instances on different machines. But to essentially encourage it reduces the real anon set. If like we have a bunch of users running a bunch of instances. And there's really no advantage to doing that, because the main reason you'd run multiple instances is to like reduce hot wallet risk. So if you had it on multiple machines running different instances, you like split up your funds so that if one machine gets compromised, you don't lose all your funds. But to run them all on the same machine, that doesn't really make sense to me. So like, yeah, it's just a weird user behavior to add.
Yeah, it does seem a bit odd. Do you think they're being a bit reflexive now to try to compete with Wasabi? Is that like sort of
Samurai?
Yeah.
The other thing
is that them trying to do something like Stowaway, or
no, they're not doing anything like that yet. They are letting you send from one wallet to the other, right? So, I think you can only do this through CLI right now, not through the not through the GUI, but you can CoinJoin directly into a hardware wallet. So you hit a certain Anon set, and then you go into a hardware wallet. But you can also do that into like a different CoinJoin wallet. It's weird. I don't know what the use case is that they're looking for there. And my issue with, you know, we kind of touched on CoinJoining into a hardware wallet as a, like, is that, like, how, what is that use case? And it makes sense. I can see it makes sense for a lot of people. But when you look at something like the Wasabi defaults, it would, the Wasabi defaults to a 50 Anon set. So user, let's think about the model, right? So the user starts doing CoinJoin, does a CoinJoin round in Wasabi. The default Anon set's 50. Wasabi rounds are usually on the higher end up to 100, right? So that's one round of mixing, one round of CoinJoin, then it goes to their hardware wallet. And then as it sits there, like the Anon set is degrading over time. Like let's say some of those people were running multiple implementations, or, you know, they were running multiple instances in the multiple wallets in the same interface with the new update. So you have like five or six people that, you know, five or six UTXOs are the same person, combines afterwards, then your Anon set gets reduced a little bit. Some people send to KYC exchanges, it gets reduced a little bit. And over time, like that privacy of that UTXO is going down, unbeknownst to you. You don't even realize. I mean, you don't. Yeah, so when you mix those defaults together, it seems, well, mixed to hardware wallet, it's not a default yet, but I could see it becoming a default practice. And if you have that no remixes default set up, it could present some issues.
Yeah, very interesting. We shall see how this plays out. Again, I was shocked to see the Bitcoin knots. And that, now that you mention it, that would make more sense just to fork core and put in the put in the SegWit filters yourself. Especially if Knots has the code out there now, maybe you can just hack that.
Yeah, I was talking to 6102 about that earlier. It was weird. Neither of us got it. So anyway, the other thing that's why that reminds me. The other thing I wanted to talk about is Satoshi's birthday of April 5th. Right? Like he didn't pick that day out of the blue. Right? The big thing is it was the day of Executive Order 6102, right?
Yeah.
Which was what,
1933.
Yeah, 1933.
They've took all the gold. I actually watched a Fort Knox documentary over the weekend. They apparently 1974, the Treasury did like a press tour of one of the vaults within Fort Knox just to quell fears that people, like the conspiracies or the theories that people didn't believe that all the gold was there. And so they showed the one room with a bunch of gold. And it's actually pretty funny because if the Fort Knox is constructed in the way that they would lead you to believe it is, it would be impossible to hold all the gold that they say. So there's got to be like very deep basement vaults that nobody really knows about or haven't been talked about. So that was something I found interesting.
But Executive Order 6102 is when FDR basically like took everyone's gold, right? Or like ordered them to give their gold up and pay it. And he said, you'll get this price for the gold, right?
Yeah. And then immediately after he got all the gold, he pegged the price at $35 an ounce, immediately doubling the price so that they can go spend on the new deal, I believe.
So that was April 5th, 1933, and then in 1975 Executive Order 6102 was reversed, right? There's a connection there between the year.
I'm not positive. I mean, 71 is when we went off Bretton Woods. I don't know why you would even reverse 6102 and 75. Maybe that was the Coinage Act.
There's something. 1975 has a significance itself as well. So April 5th, 1975. And if I remember correctly, Satoshi never publicly put that birthday anywhere. He put it in Bitcoin Talk, and then it says like how many years old you are on the profile, and from one day to the next it switched. So someone deducted that it was his listed birthday.
It's a New York Times article from October 1st, 1975. Americans look at gold again, but focus on coins, not bullion. American gold boom of 1975, which quickly dissolved into a bust last January before it ever got fully underway, is suddenly revived. New attraction of gold apparently based on two developments, the decline in gold prices and the burgeoning fears about the stability of banks through the fiscal crisis in New York City. It's crazy how much history rhymes. Bullion fell nearly $200 an ounce at the beginning of January to less than $130 an ounce, a decline of roughly 35%. It seems yes. By October, it recovered to 141. Yeah, I don't know what went on in 1975.
No, executive orders. Years. Executive Order 6102 was the limitation that was placed by Executive Order 6102, gold ownership, was repealed by Gerald Ford.
So Americans were able to start buying
December,
gold again.
December 31st, 1974. So like on the eve of 1975. So there you go. Doesn't seem like a coincidence.
No, it does not. It does not.
But anyway, so CoinJoin Day kind of came out because like every day should be CoinJoin Day. It doesn't really make sense for it to have a day. But it came out because Trace was being, before Trace disappeared, because let's be frank here, you know, he's completely disappeared since the whole Mimblewimble coin bullshit. He has not said a single statement, like fucking zero integrity, doesn't say a fucking single thing about it, just disappears. But he was starting his anti-CoinJoin stuff before we knew about Mimblewimble coin. He was being super anti-CoinJoin. And then a tweet went out, from the @Bitcoin account that a lot of people suspected was Trace sending it, that was anti-CoinJoin. And then I believe Giacomo suggested, someone said, so it was in the lead up to Proof of Keys Day, which is Trace's big baby, you know, his baby, his little holiday where we are supposed to, traders are supposed to pull their coins off of exchanges to prove their solvency.
You should be doing that every day as well.
Yeah, exactly. Proof of keys should be an everyday thing. So in response to that, someone said we should do CoinJoin Day, and then Giacomo proposed April 5th. And then it stuck. It seems like this is the first one that ever happened, and you know, hopefully we'll see more. You know, at the end of the day, more education on privacy best practices, the better. And people like having days, you know.
Yeah. People do like having days. It's a good one to have. April 5th. I never knew that about, I never knew that was the day that the Executive Order 6102 was signed. It's crazy. Almost 100 years ago, they basically went to every American and said, hey, you need to give us your fucking gold. And then we're going to take it, we're going to put it in vaults, and we're going to double the price and sell that on international markets. We're going to take your investment, mandate that it's double what you gave it to us for, and then use that to give you public goods, quote unquote.
And people insanity. Think it's crazy to think that they might try and do that with Bitcoin, but you know, depending on your government, it could definitely happen.
A lot of people were giving Roy Sabag shit, but I do think I do not agree with everything he believes Bitcoin. I don't think Bitcoin is just an idea. I do think there is tangible capital and energy behind the network, and it is superior to gold in many aspects, particularly the storage and sending of the asset, of the bearer asset, when you compare UTXO to gold. But I do think one thing he mentioned was the man-in-the-middle attack that can be posed by custodians and people like our government.
Nah.
So hey, Coinbase and Zappo have a lot of Bitcoin.
No, I disagreed with that part. I actually liked the episode, but I disagreed with that part wholeheartedly. I mean, we've been hearing that forever.
But the point I'm trying to make is proof of keys. Make sure you're pulling your UTXOs off exchange. And I had to push back on that. I was like, is that your problem? Like, you can take your UTXOs off at any point. Like,
well, he's thinking about it like a gold guy, right? Like, he runs a gold custodial business, right? Like, that's what he does. Like, gold has already been middlemaned. Gold will forever be middlemaned in that respect because it's hard to transfer and it's hard to store. And it's relatively easy to seize if you have the means. With Bitcoin, at least, like, I think the order could happen in America, and I think it will most definitely happen in some countries, right? Like, we'll see it in certain countries, and we won't see it in other countries. But then it comes down to enforcement, right? And it's a lot easier to enforce it on gold holders than on Bitcoin holders. It becomes prohibitively expensive. We'd be fucked in this situation. But people that took actual precautions in terms of their privacy could fare decently in that kind of environment.
I agree. But like we said earlier in the episode, like, there are those naive people who just listen to authority and do what they say. But Bitcoiners tend not to be those type of people. So, and I would be really pissed if they came and tried to confiscate my UTXOs. I would probably fight back.
I mean, part of the reason I learned self-custody and stuff like so early on was because I had this legitimate fear when I got into Bitcoin that like all the exchanges and stuff would be closed down and you wouldn't be able to, any money you had there, you wouldn't be able to get out. You wouldn't be able to get more money in. So that's always been just like a core driver of everything with me with Bitcoin. And I think people have that perspective. Like, when you needed masks, you weren't able to buy them. But 6 months ago, they were plentiful and cheap. Now, if you have masks for friends and family, it's like you're giving them the most amazing gift ever, right? But 6 months ago, it was trivial. You didn't even have to put on pants. You could just go on Amazon.
This is true. No, my biggest driver was Mt. Gox. Like, and that's why I worry about like Coinbase and Zap. But like, do they have all the coins they say they do? I don't know. I'm not speculating that they don't, but I don't know. And Mt. Gox proved that you'll never truly know until it's too late. So in both regards, make sure you're taking possession of your UTXOs in case the government attacks these on and off ramps and tries to confiscate your Bitcoin that way. Or in the case that your exchange may be insolvent, which has proven to happen from time to time in this space. So it is a digital bearer asset. It does come with extreme ownership and extreme responsibility. And if you really want to take your financial sovereignty into your own hands, you should be creating private keys and moving your UTXOs to the public keys associated with those private keys. And on top of that, make sure you're coin joining too. Get some privacy as well. That's important too, especially when you're going to need the plausible deniability when Uncle Sam comes knocking on your door. You'll be like, terrible boating accident. Hate to break it to you. You don't know where those private keys are at all.
I do not think the boating accident meme will be a very successful meme for Bitcoiners who attempt it. For most Bitcoiners who attempt it. I mean, look, if you KYC, they know you have Bitcoin. You can never prove you don't have Bitcoin. Coin joining after does help, though, right? I think it is a net benefit regardless. It does give you some plausible deniability in that situation. And then, you know, you don't really end up in a worse position because they either... One situation is you went through KYC and they know your addresses. And the other situation is they still know you went through KYC, but they don't know your addresses and they ask you for your addresses. And you, at that point, you have a choice if you're going to give it to them or you're going to fight them on it. So I don't really see much of it's obviously an improvement on the threat model there. And also, like, you know, who knows, these exchanges get hacked, leaked, they share the data, and then it becomes a security factor. That privacy becomes a security risk for you in general. If it gets in the hands of a bad actor who tries to rob you or extort you. So
that's true.
That's why KYC is dangerous. And you could never like fully erase that KYC, but you can improve it if you do KYC. But yeah. I can't, like, they would literally have to go, because it's easy to self-custody Bitcoin. Like, a government that decided that they wanted to 6102 Bitcoin, even just 6102, the non-privacy focused users, let's just say the KYC users, they take no privacy into their hands. Like, they have to go door to door and like seize the Bitcoin, right? Like, they have to go door to door and like get you to give them your seed or your, you know, I guess like your PIN and your ledger or whatever you have. That's expensive. That's time consuming. I don't know. Like, it's way more difficult than just like seizing most other assets, except for maybe gold at home. But even gold at home, they just, it's like sitting there, right? Like, how much gold do you have there? It's large.
And who would be tasked with following through with those seizures? Would that be the Treasury or the IRS? Because we know the IRS is already hurting personnel wise.
Yeah, I mean, I have no idea.
Yeah. But interesting time.
It's an interesting thought process to go down.
Yeah. No, and like I said on our episode with Alex, like, I think people are severely discounting just a complete collapse. Again, I mentioned it earlier, a complete collapse of confidence in these institutions. Like, we're very scared of these governments, but I'm not saying this is a foregone conclusion, but is there a scenario, a timeline in which people just say fuck you, and like the confidence is so low that any attempt to try to seize this stuff is just ephemeral and met with laughs? Like, you ruined our economy and our society, so why would we play ball with you now? We'll see.
I mean, it's very like Lindy almost. Like, the longer it goes on without any kind of hardcore action by governments, like, the harder it gets to actually implement those kind of things, especially when you have the game theory of like politicians and lobbyists and stuff and leaders holding Bitcoin themselves, and that increases as time goes on, and they actually lose faith in the same institutions that they're holding up, right? Because like,
yeah,
a lot of those people probably think even less of themselves than we do. They know, like, they see it firsthand. They're just,
I would hope so. Things have gotten pretty bad to this point. And that was, again, I don't want to harp on the Roy Sabag episode, but that was another thing you mentioned. One thing we should really push for, especially while the iron's hot, is bringing back the Coinage Act. We're writing a new amendment into the Constitution that basically just recognizes Bitcoin, any commodity really, as a form of money that cannot be taxed and is just used as a currency. And you shouldn't hurt the hodlers and users of that currency with taxation. That would be getting closer to the American ideals that this country was founded on. I'm not holding my breath for that, but that's a way we could get around all the stress we have about getting our Bitcoin seized and stuff like that.
Let's talk about a happier topic. Did you see this Mutant C Raspberry Pi 4 build?
Don't believe so.
I have the link right there.
On the list?
Yeah, it's on the list. It's number 3. Okay, freaks. This is using an Raspberry Pi 4, and the guy created a mobile version. So it's got a little mobile flip-up screen and keyboard and a battery pack in it. Like, the battery life's probably horrible. I don't actually know what I would use it for, but it'd be kind of cool to have like a little mobile node.
Right. Looks like a PS. What was that Game Boy DS? Sort of looks like that.
It reminds me of the Sony used to have like a little computer that looked like it. And also, like, I guess like the Sidekick. Someone commented on Twitter, I could see the Sidekick. Remember the Sidekicks?
Well.
The beginning
of
phones.
That was the hot phone in the beginning.
But anyway, this is like, this is one of those projects that I just like absolutely want to build it. But I have zero use for it. I don't know what I would ever use it for. So
it seems cool. I don't know what I would use it for either. I am, back to happier news. I'm getting my MyNode set up. I am the less tech literate of the two of us. It's taken me some time. I have one more part. I flashed the image today and loaded that up and then realized I don't have the correct cord to hook my SSD card up to the MyNode. So that should be here within the week. And then once that happens, I'll have everything up and running. And then I got to get graphene set up on my Pixel 3. And if I'm going to do that via Windows, there's a couple of things I need to take into consideration, right, outside of your tutorial.
I think I sent you TechLore. This other guy has a Windows guide. Because I only did it with Ubuntu. I haven't used Windows in a while.
He's a caffeinated chihuahua, somebody said.
Yeah, someone was talking shit about his guide today. But I had only heard good things before that. So, I don't know. If any freaks out there have used TechLore's graphing guide, or know a better Windows graphene guide, shout it out in the Twitter comments. As for MyNode, they just released an update, and I also wanted to. We discussed MyNode a little bit last week, and I like scared a few people, and I just wanted to explain with a little bit more context where I was going with that. So historically, when you use your own node, the keys aren't on the node. Okay, so if you're running MyNode and you're running a Electrum server, you're running Electris on your MyNode, that connects back to Electrum on your computer, right? And on your computer, you could either have your keys on your computer, which is not recommended, or you can use a hardware wallet with Electrum. And in that case, your keys are on your hardware wallet. You're using your node that is running on MyNode. But your keys aren't actually on MyNode, okay? That changed with two things, with Lightning and with CoinJoin. So with Lightning, if you're using LND, the keys are on the node. Like, think of Zoolander. The keys are in the node, okay? If you're using Whirlpool or JoinMarket, which the new update to MyNode updated both of those, and they're both there, they're always running CoinJoin, and they keep the keys on the device as well. Okay, so for those two applications, Lightning and CoinJoin, you're keeping the keys on the node. That's where the node security matters the most. In terms of privacy, there's other, you know, there can be other issues, but in terms of security, that's where it matters. And proportionally, like, you should be keeping, you know, less in those things that are constantly running on your node, because they're always connected to the internet. They're hot, right? If you keep it in a cold card, it's offline. So the device, you for 99% of the time, the device needs to actually be like picked up and keys taken that way, not through the internet. Now, my reasoning for my concern is, by running it all on one box, if something happens, you lose all of them, right? But if you're running your Samurai stack, and then like you're running like a Raspberry Blitz that just added JoinMarket in their most recent release candidate, so that's not a full release yet, but it's version 1.5 release candidate 1. They added JoinMarket support, and this is where you're the maker, so you're constantly running it, just like with Whirlpool, you're constantly running it. So you're running Samurai on one device, you're running Lightning and JoinMarket on the other device, and then for MyNode, you're running everything else, but not keeping keys on the actual node. From a security setup, that might be the most ideal way. I haven't decided if that's where I'm settling on this, but that's where my thought process is going, just to explain there.
That makes sense. So MyNode is basically just used to feed you Bitcoin blockchain data that the apps outside of it can use to cross-reference.
Yeah, for the on the Minot side. So you have like you have your Block Explorer, you have your Electrum server, you have your mempool, you know, viewer and stuff. And then on the other devices, you're actually running them with funds on them, and you keep them separate, so not everything goes down with one ship.
Yeah, that makes sense. Diversify your risk, freaks. This is getting better too over time. It seems complicated, but believe it or not, this is actually miles ahead of where we were only a couple of years ago. Only a year ago at this point, actually, if we're truly being honest.
Well, what's really interesting is those three projects I just mentioned all run on the same hardware. So, you know, if you do one, it's relatively easy to know how to do the other. You could even repurpose one to do the other. It's kind of cool that they all run on the same hardware. Or you could buy like two Raspberry Pi 4s, you buy two equal setups, you know, to do, you know, one of each. But anyway, the guide series is going to cover all this. And part of the reason it's been slower is because I'm trying to
work the nuance in.
Yeah, I'm trying to come to terms with like how the setup I would like, you know, so that's where we go with it.
Yeah.
But I've been loving Minot. It's been working great.
Yeah, I'm pumped to get mine up and running. Hopefully by the end of this week, I'm hoping.
I hate the name. Because every time I said I've been loving my node, like, yeah, which node? You know? I just like, but anyway, continue. Sorry.
Yeah, that is, you're big on names. I think it's a good brand, though. Outside of people who know what it is, it probably is a bit confusing.
It looks good in text, right? It looks good online because there's no space. My node, so it's very clear. But when I speak, when I'm actually talking in person or on podcast or whatever, it just sounds like I'm talking about my generic node, you know? Oh, like, so I was running my node the other day, you know? Okay, which node? What are you talking about, you know? It's a little bit. But in text, it looks great.
Yeah. I was going to say, one thing we forgot to do at the beginning of the episode that we can do now is go to Clark Moody's Bitcoin dashboard. I wanted to go to it today too because the price is at 7,290 and we're technically above where we started the year. So year to date, people are saying Bitcoin's completely correlated to the stock market. It seems that Bitcoin's flat to actually a bit positive now. You can't say the same for the stock market. On top of that, we are 231 blocks away from the next difficulty adjustment. It seems like the last difficulty adjustment was last week. I can't believe we're coming up on another one already. But this is going to be, as of right now, an upward difficulty adjustment by 5.2%. So after the second largest downward difficulty adjustment, it seems that the network has recalibrated and more hash rate has joined the network since the last retarget. And we're going to go up again, which is interesting. So the block times this epoch have been 9 minutes and 31 seconds, which is great to see. The network works. Over the last 2016 blocks has been 9 minutes and 54 seconds. So really getting close to that 10-minute target. What else do we have here? Where's the percentage of fees? I hit one of the...
I'm surprised no one's running with the narrative that the U.S. government saved Bitcoin from a mining death spiral by issuing the stimulus package to save Bitcoin.
Why would that be the narrative?
I like that
for
narrative.
For miners specifically. No, I think mining narratives hurt with the oil war, right? With all these oil and gas companies having a shutter.
That's good for Bitcoin, right?
Not all the oil companies are sort of over the hump of realizing that this could be a diverse revenue stream for them. It should be in the long run there.
But just energy costs going down is good for Bitcoin.
Yeah, but should be if people are actually using oil for mining Bitcoin, which I don't think many people are. But if they do go negative, maybe people will start doing it at least temporarily until prices recover.
But back to the stimulus, it should pump the price of Bitcoin. Would you not agree?
Oh, yes. I mean, it's actually a good segue. If people are getting money sent directly to their bank account, we talked about this last week, the small business loans particularly, like, it's fucked up that the people who are going to get the money are the people who know how to work the system, probably not the people who need it most. It's just the people who know how to connect with the lawyers who can fill out the paperwork that can get them the loans. But then you see some fuckery going around. I don't think we talked about this last week, did we, with the Bank of America? So I guess the way the loan program works is your small business, you deal with your bank that you have a business account open with, and they're supposed to, they have a bit of discretion of who does and does not get the loans. And Bank of America, a bunch of people were applying for loans as soon as the gates opened and getting denied if they had not had a line of credit open already with their business account. So businesses that had clean balance sheets, no debt, and were keeping their books clean and up to date for the history of their businesses being open, were denied these loans, these stimulus loans, because they had not had a successful line of credit with Bank of America in the past. It's just so fucked.
It's classic, like, government, like, intentional complexity. It's like incompetence with a little bit of corruption in there. They can't even do, like, helicopter money efficiently. You know, there's just tons of fucking bullshit involved.
Well, that's without just not talking about how corrupt and fucked up our banking system is from a philosophical and theoretical level of just the policy, the actual technical level of the banking system, like how it works at an engineering level. It doesn't seem like the banks are ready for this. It's from a technical infrastructure aspect either. It was not built to work in these helicopter money ways.
Let's go back to my no-corner narrative that I'm surprised we don't see. If you believe in the mining death spiral, and you think that's this distinct possibility, right? And you believe that we're about to hit a recession, we're about to hit a recession, and then you believe that the stimulus will help pump the price of Bitcoin. You could put all three of those together relatively easy in a headline, I feel like. The federal government saved Bitcoin.
Wait, so Bitcoin would have died. There is a death spiral.
Bitcoin would have died.
I don't see how the government stops the death spiral.
They did by pumping liquidity into the entire financial system.
Ah, so it raised the price of Bitcoin, which prevented miners from shutting down.
Exactly, which gives us a positive difficulty adjustment. And that's why the mining death spiral didn't happen, and it was bullshit, you know?
Interesting.
See, I got the no corner narratives down. I'm good.
I'm going to chew on that.
Yeah. I was waiting for that one. I thought someone was going to do it, and no one did it.
But
I
the stimulus like money hasn't triggered. Hit. Has anybody gotten a stimulus check yet? Have they started rolling in?
No, but it should be priced in right away because that same person believes in the efficient market hypothesis.
You know the no-coiner as well. You got to think like a no-coiner so we can beat them at their game. This is very good thinking. I love the strategic thinking you're doing right now, Matt.
You got to stay one step ahead.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, it's all so fucked. You got Boris Johnson and ICO. They're trying to do helicopter money. The banks are just picking and choosing people who have credit lines out. They technically can't even do it, distribute it. It's a shit show. What do we have? The last 2 weeks, close to 10 million people apply for unemployment. Just getting that to everybody seems like a headache, especially on a banking system built on COBOL. Did you see New Jersey's begging for COBOL developers right now?
Are they really?
Yeah, like they're not even saying they're going to pay them. They're saying we need COBOL volunteers to help us build out our systems during this
national emergency.
Yeah.
Damn.
For you freaks that don't know, COBOL is an extremely old programming language that a lot of the banking system still runs on to this day. COBOL engineers are going extinct, and our whole banking system is built on that language, from what I understand.
Did you see this Cool Wallet S security flaw?
Yeah, it seems pretty fucked. So Kranken did a security audit. I've never heard of Cool Wallet. Cool Wallet,
so
but apparently
Cool Wallet actually, they sent me promotional. They sent me one. Rodolfo, in our Rodolfo episode, he said, we don't get free hardware from people. Cool Wallet sent me free hardware, hoping to get hype out of it. And so it's like this device that looks like a little credit card, and it has like a little e-ink display on it. Like those, there was like bougie credit cards that were out like a couple of years ago that had something similar, where there's like this little display on it, and it's credit card sized, and it's supposed to be a hardware wallet that connects to your phone. But you know, from my like my limited usage of it, I had the feeling that it was just all a gimmick. There was no real advantage from the actual device. So I never shilled it, even though they sent me a free device. It just like went in my drawer. And today, a couple days ago, Kraken came out that the private keys and the PIN and everything was just in plain text the phone. Which is worse than some mobile wallets. Like the threat model of, like a lot of mobile wallets encrypt everything that they have on the device. I think most of them do. So this was even worse than that. And it was being billed as a hardware wallet, but it really wasn't even a hardware wallet. And I think the lesson here is like, if, you know, for us normal people, like we should just, if you're going to use a hardware wallet, you got to stick with one of the top guys. Like, you can't go, like, it drops off real quick. It drops, like, Cold Card, Ledger, Trezor, and then after that, it just drops off a cliff. So you have to be very careful. And then, like, the other main thing that I think a regular person can do is, and we were just discussing this with Mynode, is, like, diversify your risk. Like, don't keep everything in one type of wallet. If something happens there, at least you know all your funds aren't gone.
Yeah. So if you are, unfortunately, a Cool Wallet user right now, update your CoolBitX crypto Android application. Don't carry and store your Cool Wallet with your paired phone in public. That's how they're getting it, is Bluetooth, the communicating of the wallet with the phone via Bluetooth, and always generate the seed on the Cool Wallet. I mean, our recommendation is to just not use this, but if you are using it and you
just stop
do
using
have to wait,
it. You should just stop. You, you
yeah, just but stop. If you...
You're better off using Green Wallet or Samurai.
But to lock it down before you switch wallets, make sure you do this stuff. Download the latest application on Android. Keep it away from your phone that it pairs with.
It's fucked up. And I saw, like, there was, like, a decent amount of, like, reputable accounts that weren't necessarily shilling it, but they were like, look at this cool wallet I got from Cool Wallet, you know? And my first impression of it was, I was just like, I don't trust this thing for a fucking second.
Shill lightly, if at all.
Yeah, I mean, it's
shill lightly, if at all.
Yeah, I'm glad that, well, and if you get free hardware, like, at least admit that it's free hardware. Don't, you know. You should disclose. But yeah, good to see that Kraken was investigating this. And now we are all the wiser for it. And then the other update was Eclair just got updated. Async's Eclair Lightning implementation.
Wombo!
I think this is the first implementation to formally remove Wombo.
Add Wombo channels, right? Enable Wombo channels?
Yeah, enable Wombo channels, but formally remove the cap? No.
I believe so.
Oh, no, you no, have to change it. It's not a default. You have to change it. I believe you can... Like, how hard it is... It's not that hard to do Wombo channels in the other implementation.
Yeah, well, they were the first one to do it with Bit Refill, correct?
All I know is, like, the main releases, like, you still can't, LND, you still can't do Wombo on the main release. You have to fuck with the code.
But they have increased their ceiling since it was initially released, haven't they? Wasn't it initially, like, 0.16 Bitcoin or something like that? And they increased
it's still
that. Is it?
Yeah. 16.7 million sats. Which is...
Sorry.
How much is that?
0.167.
Yeah, obviously. How much is
that? How much is that price right now?
Yeah.
That's about $1,000 maybe.
Yeah, right. That sounds about right. $1,200.
Yeah.
I still do my math on 10,000. So like my max channel size could only be $1,600. But I don't know if you want, yeah, I mean, I think at this point you just remove it, right? Like there's tons of funds already locked up on this thing. But I don't know. What do I know? We'll see. There's no rush, actually. I don't really care.
I mean, if you are thinking long term, you do want to just open the biggest channels that you can are safely willing to risk.
Yeah, but I think in this case, for like 99% of nodes, they're not even near that 16 million SAT cap, right? Like
no.
We see channels of people opening like 40,000 SATs, 60,000 SATs.
Maybe that's why Eclair has been really experimenting with this and pushing this. They want to go after the big boys, the exchanges. Maybe that's probably who would enable this first. I would imagine if the exchanges wanting to move sats between each other or enable their traders on their exchanges to move sats between the exchanges to arb some prices, that would make the most sense to me and probably be the first users of this feature.
Well, I mean, a lot of the big boys already have Wombo channels, right? They just...
Yeah.
But yeah, you know, I it's good to see steady progress.
Yeah, let's go back to Clark Moody's page here. He has Bitfinex has 307 channels, inbound capacities 19.85 Bitcoin, outbound 32.44. So excuse me, 3 billion, 200 million sats and 19 billion sats. Not too big, actually smaller than I would imagine. The exchanges aren't experimenting with Lightning as heavily as some would like it to happen right now, but hopefully again with async making this easier, they start experimenting with it more. Because again, yeah, and Async has been pushing this. They were the first Wombo channel they did was like one Bitcoin with Bitrefill, correct?
It was them, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, I thought it was them. I mean, look, the whole idea of that limit is like it's supposed to be training wheels, right? They don't want people going too crazy in the beginning, but we've been at it for a while now. There hasn't been anything extremely catastrophic. If not now, then when? Like, at one point do you, like, actually decide to remove the limit there? But then on the other side of the equation, like, if you're two known parties and you want to do a Wombo channel, it's very reasonable for you to do it anyway without any of these, you know, additions to the actual implementation. And then for, like, the average user, multi-path, multi-part payments, you know, that is, should accomplish that same goal, right? Like if the idea is that, you know, oh, I need to make a payment that's larger than than 16 million sats. But then, you know, the other thing is like when number go up, then that limit goes up with it, right? I don't know. There's a lot of things there.
Yeah. Yeah. In my, I'm just going over it in my head right now. My calculations were way off. It was 3 billion and 1.9 billion Bitfinex channel size.
I've just decided that I am for increasing the limit because I have a lot of channels that are 16 million sats, and the only reason they're 16 million sats is because I was held there, right? Like, who knows what they would have been?
It was lower before that thing because they did raise it.
No, I think it was always 16 million. Maybe it was like right in the beginning. Would it have been right in the beginning?
Possibly, I don't know. Somebody will correct this on Twitter.
I was like a little bit of a late bloomer on Lightning.
Late adopter?
I mean, I definitely was not a late adopter, but we're all early adopters. But I was definitely not one of the first. I took my time.
I did as well. Staying on the exchange chip, though, this came out in the block over the weekend. Stephen Pally, who's the resident lawyer there at the block, he announced that a lawsuit has been put forth against some top exchanges, token issuers, and personal names were named Friday. This is the person who, same person who that represented, or excuse me, the same law firm that represented the plaintiffs in litigation against Craig Wright and Bitfinex. This lawsuit puts forth 11 new putative case, or excuse me, class actions, and they were filed last Thursday by Rashoe Friedman Law Firm in the Southern District of New York, which is where this typically happens. They separately named Binance, Civic, B Protocol Status, Block One, KDEX, QuantStamp, Bitbox, the Tron Foundation, KuCoin, HDR Global Trading, which is BitMEX, and many other principals, which include Brandon Bloomer, who I don't know who that is, Dan Larimer, who's...
Brandon Bloomer's the EOS guy.
He's okay, so is Dan Larimer. Dan Larimer is the EOS, Steam It, BitShares guy. Vinny Lingham. Vinny Lingham getting dragged in.
That's the guy I would imagine. That's the guy who called the top at $900.
Yes. CZ and Arthur Hayes were actually personally named in this lawsuit as well. And the block has this stupid sign up for our email thing that just popped up, so I can't see Modal. The article anymore.
They call them modals. I like that word. M-O-D-A-L.
Yeah, that modal. I hate those things. They're annoying. Yeah, so it looks like they're issuing a class action lawsuit to call out unregistered security sales. So I would imagine EOS is why BitMEX and a bunch of the other exchanges are getting dragged in, especially if Block One is getting called out as well.
Which is interesting because EOS got a slap on the wrist from the SEC. Right?
Possibly. Yeah, I think so.
They got a slap on the wrist from someone about the securities exchange. It was like it was supposed to be $4 billion. I mean, I think a lot of it was wash traded, so take that number with a grain of salt. And like they got, it was like tens of millions they got fined, right?
Yeah. I've put forth what I think EOS's crowd raise was just a huge money laundering scheme.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure that's what it was. I mean, it was set up for it. Yeah. And the incentives, just you always look at the incentives. The incentives were set up for them to do that.
Yeah. So we'll see. The lawsuit alleges violations of U.S. federal and state securities law against the issuers of digital tokens against the crypto exchanges that sold them to persons based in the United States. The claims against individuals are under a control person liability theory, which imposes personal liability for corporate securities law claims. This path is usually taken against officers and directors of the company on the assumption that they have control of the entity responsible for the primary violations. Steven does also mention that these lawsuits will probably play out over a long period of time due to everything that's going on with the coronavirus right now. So let's see. It's a lawsuit out there. We'll see if anything comes of it. There's also rumors. I know Romano, who is an Altcoin dev and DGen autist on Twitter, was saying that BitMEX is going to start ninja launching KYC on people, so be aware of that.
We've been hearing for a minute now. We've been hearing that for a couple, like half a year, maybe a year, which is not to dismiss it. If anything, probably makes it more likely, right? I mean, we'll see. They've outlasted for a while, but you should always remember this. Like you never know when you might get ninja KYC'd if you're using an exchange that doesn't have KYC. You should assume it could happen at any moment. You should reduce your risk accordingly. And keep in mind that if you're breaking some of these exchanges, like BitMEX, you know, in a lot of places of the world, you can't use it legally. Their terms of service says you can't use it. You can't use it either. So if you're breaking their terms of service, it could get really dicey for you. And even if you get shotgun KYC, even if you comply, you might have trouble getting your Bitcoin. So
be aware, freaks. Just stack sats and HODL. It's the easiest way. You're going to get your nads ripped off trading anyway.
It's too simple. It's too simple. Everyone needs to touch the stove first before realize. You just stay on these stack sats.
Yeah, be careful out there. Last topic, moving back to macro, Janet Yellen was making the rounds on CNBC today. She hinted at this a couple of months ago, a few months ago, I think at this point, and is now coming out and cheerleading for it. She wants the Fed to have the ability to buy stocks, and she doesn't think it would be a bad thing for Congress to reconsider the powers that the Fed has in respect to assets it can own. So she's basically coming out on a press tour trying to goad Congress into allowing the Fed to buy stocks. And just last week, the Fed announced via its policy that it had workarounds to buy corporate debt and commercial real estate debt that Congress did not allow it to do. So I even wonder why Janet's asking Congress to do it. It seems like the Fed doesn't even care anymore. They're creating facilities that would allow them to buy these assets in roundabout ways already. I don't see why that wouldn't happen with stocks. And Janet's justification is that the U.S. is the Fed is being hindered and restricted more than most other central banks. And it's a crazy world we're living in. So the central bank of note that has been applying the policy of buying the stocks of its native stock exchange is Japan. Japan's been doing QE and exotic purchasing programs since the 90s, I believe, since the Asian crisis in late 97. And what they've seen is sort of stagflation of their stock markets, I believe, for the last couple decades.
They own the majority of Japanese Bank stocks, of Japan, right?
The Bank of Japan, I don't know. I think they might own like 40% of the stock market, but they own 75% of the ETF market. Probably more at this point, since that stat's been verified. I don't know the latest there, but again, what may seem like a rich economy on paper, especially if you're just looking at numbers of stock market, just looking at stock markets, everything may seem rosy and okay. But if you look under the hood and at the society that's sort of quote unquote producing the prices in these stock markets, things aren't as well. I believe Japanese birth rate's way below where it should be at 2.1. I believe maybe even below 1 at this point, which is pretty scary. Like they're not gonna have any population growth anytime soon with those numbers. And then if you look into why birth rate is low, there are studies out there and polls out there that have asked Japanese millennials what their thoughts on having more than one kid is. And most of them, I believe something like 79% said they would never have more than one kid. And then those that did not have kids were asked what's preventing them from having children, and 89% responded the economy, and it would be too expensive to bring children into this world. That was a Japan Times article that was posted in August of last year. I have it on Twitter. I'll pull it up and put the link in the show notes. But again, we are following a path that's been laid out before us by other economies. The Fed wants to buy stocks, and they're basically just trying to prop up the markets at all cost to keep the facade alive and make it seem like everything's all good. But again, if you take a look under the hood, that does not really produce wealth and well-being in a populace. So yeah, we're in a very weird situation. Janet Yellen, who is basically an extension of the Fed, from being an ex-chairwoman, is cheerleading that the Fed should be able to buy stocks. And I said that last week. It's probably the last arrow in the quiver, so it'll be interesting to see what they try to do. If that doesn't work, what do they do? What can they do after that? I'm not sure.
Do you think that Corona increases the birth rate? Does it affect the birth rate at all? Does it decrease the birth rate?
I don't know. Your theory is that it's going to push couples away from each other, right? Especially if they're new couples.
I think we see like divorce rate and like they don't calculate breakup rate, but I think we'll see like breakup rate increase. I don't know. I think it will have interesting anecdotally, effects on a bunch of things.
Anecdotally, Francis Paulette was tweeting over the weekend that he would not want to bring a kid into the world right now. Maybe fear of the current state of affairs throughout the world would prevent people from having kids. Maybe the pullout game will be strong during this quarantine. Maybe there won't be as much seed embedding, but who knows?
People but are cheaper home. Housing. You think if cheaper housing, does that increase birth rate?
Yeah, but I think birth rate would be a lagging indicator of that.
Yeah, probably.
Or leading indicator. Yeah.
You would probably want to get the home first if you're responsible, yeah. But maybe not.
Yeah. Yeah. We'll see. We'll see. There's also a lot of people home with their kids right now, stuck with their kids 24/7, which, and some are not used to that. And they're thinking, oh my God, maybe we shouldn't have another.
How's that going for you?
I'm fortunate where I have an infant and he doesn't do anything but eat shit and sleep. So, it's been very pleasant. He's starting to smile, starting to goo goo gaga, like try to talk to us. So it's been fun.
You could tell him when he grows up that the whole country took paternity leave for him.
No, it has been, it's been fun. It's, like I was telling you, we went on a hike today. Don't forget to bring a pacifier if you go on a long hike and you think your son's going to sleep through it.
Always bring a pacifier.
Yeah, we learned that the hard way today.
Just everywhere, right? Just all places.
Have that. Have an extra bottle lined up. Yeah. It'll be fun. But yeah, I mean, we're not going to be producing any children during this quarantine, I don't think, just because of the proximity of the birth of our firstborn. So
I think that's a fair decision.
Yeah. Damn, man. Yeah, it is weird. So did I read the stat correctly? Like, have deaths started to fall in New York? Daily deaths from the virus?
No, I don't know. I think it's premature to call anything, right?
Yeah.
We shall see how it plays out.
Ooh.
If deaths start falling now, that's like best case scenario in my opinion, right? So
yeah,
we'll see.
Yeah. That's what I'm hoping for. I now know two people who've gotten it. Both had to be hospitalized. One is still in, one is out and has recovered and has actually been back at work for a week.
Glad to hear it that he's recovered. Yeah.
We should get to this. It would be remiss if we forgot this. We got a shout out that came in. When did it come in? It came in.
Fuck yes.
Came in this afternoon. Exactly 3 hours and 46 minutes ago. Sup, freaks. We're going to end it on a positive note. We're going to end it on a shout out. We don't know who it's from, but thank you to whoever sent it. Sup, freaks. Aspiring member of the Auburn, California Citadel. Love the Bitcoin ethos, love TFTC content. I've never been more bullish in over 5 years of being a hodler. Thank you, Matt and Marty, for being entertaining as well as educational. Hey, thank you. Thank you for calling us entertaining.
I'm glad you find it entertaining, dude. That's why I do it. And I hope you find it helpful, too. That's the real reason I do it. I just wanted to tell the freaks before we sign off here, you know, like, this is when, like, it's times like these when everything matters, right? Like, I've told the freaks before that my goal here is that we all become a better Bitcoin dude in your group of friends and family, where you can help them through that process. But in times like these, like, you just have to be the dude in general. You know, you have to, like, step up and, you know, be the guy who gets shit done, because someone has to do it.
Hey, I like to end it on that. Get shit done. Stand up. Be a leader. Don't be a follower. Don't wait for the CDC to tell you what to do. Lead. And we'll be back Thursday.
Fuck yes.
All right. Peace and love, freaks. Okay.